how much better off we will be. Amen. The Bible said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it don't say the heart of a saved man. Don't say the heart of a lost man. It just says the heart of a man is deceitfully wicked. Well, tonight, thank you, Brother Bill. You did a good job on that. I was hoping that be one of them that you would select tonight. And I love to hear him sing that. And Charles Johnson, Revivers Ain't Got Nothing on You, Bill. Amen. Great song. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Acts, the 16th chapter tonight of the book of Acts. And we'll begin our reading in verse 12 when you do find your place. And we're going to read through several verses tonight. And if the Lord will help you, we're going to bring you this little thought that God laid on my mind. And may not help anybody. I hope it'll help you. And I hope it'll help me anyway to be able to preach it. And Acts 16. And I got a little bit of hum up here, brother. Acts 16 and verse 12. And the Bible said, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wrought to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted hither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which was brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to obey, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light, and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in their house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Thank you, and be seated. Our fathers, we come this evening. Lord, we come this evening realizing, Lord, our need of thee. And Lord, as the song says, I need thee every hour. And Lord, as we come tonight, thank you for these dear ones that, Lord, have come out tonight. I know some of them didn't feel like it. I know some of them was afraid to try it, but yet they made it. They came, and I pray the Lord to give them a blessing by being here and get them all safely back home. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of the church, the whole congregation. I pray for a hedge to be put around, Lord, the people of God, And Lord, especially those that do want to serve you, they want to go to church, they want to be there, they want to be a part of God's army. And I pray for them. Bless the Lord, the discouraged tonight, heal the sick tonight, save the lost. Lord, and bless and anoint this service tonight. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Paul and Silas, that's what we've read tonight, beginning in verse 12 and ending up in verse 33, we see that Paul and Silas went from a prayer meeting to a prison. And it all started with a prayer meeting. And did you know a prayer meeting will stir the devil up? Did you know the devil don't like it when you pray and it gets him stirred up? But then the prayer meeting wasn't just a prayer meeting. It was a possessed woman, the Bible said in verse 13. And it came to pass after we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, fortune teller, if you will. And not only her, but what really got the devil stirred up was a powerful name. There in verse 18, the Bible said that he spoke to that possessed spirit, and he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, come out of her. Now, I've never been in jail. I come close, real close. One night, me and my cousin were arrested. We were taken to the police station, and we were as close as the police station was to the jail. And I was young. Cousin said, don't worry about it. I know somebody to get us out. And so I kind of eased up my fear a little bit. We got down there and they marched us in the police office and done what they did. And he said, all right, y'all got one call. I said, who you want to call? And he said, his daddy. And that was the last person I wanted him to call. Amen. But my daddy did rescue me, and he came up there and he got us out, so that's as close as I've ever came to going to jail. But if I ever do go, I want to go for the same reason that Paul and Silas went. Amen. A lot of times I meet people that have done wrong, and you know, maybe drinking or drugs or a thousand other things, and I'd visit the jail and talk to them through the cells, and they'll say, well, they say Paul was in prison. Paul was in jail. And I said, yeah, but he wasn't in jail for being drunk. He was in jail for preaching. Amen. Big difference. Big difference. Now, you know, there's a game called Monopoly. And in that game called Monopoly, there's a little card you can get that called Get Out of Jail Free. And not too long ago, we had a game night at our house. And my wife and Davey and Hallie and myself, and we all played Monopoly on a Friday night. And with my great financial and business mind, I wind up winning that game that night. And I had one of them cards, get out of jail free. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight that Paul and Silas, they got out of jail free. Nobody went to bond. They didn't pay any money. They didn't do anything, but the Bible tells us in verse 33 that they got out of jail free. Amen. You say, I don't know what this got to do with me because I hadn't been in jail and I ain't planning to go to jail. Well, there's a lot of people that hadn't planned going there that wound up there that shouldn't be there. Amen. And certainly in our society in which we live, the possibilities of a child of God winding up in jail, the possibilities are a lot higher than they used to be. Amen. You don't go to jail in our kind of day for doing wrong. You go to jail for doing right. Amen. And we're in that time when they call good evil, they call evil good, and justice is turned around backwards and truth is falling in the street. Amen. But I hope you don't never wind up in jail. I hope I don't never wind up in jail. But you know, not all jails have bars. And it was Richard Lovelace, And I always loved English when I was in school, and would have to memorize poetry, and I like to do some of that. And I remember having to memorize that poem, and I think the name of it was If. I think Richard Kipling, I think, and that poem, If. And I remembered that, still got portions of it in my mind. And I like that kind of a thing. But there was a man named Richard Lovelace who wrote a poem that's called To Althea from Prison. And I'm sure you've heard it before. And it said, stones and walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Mine's innocent and quiet. Take that for a hermitage. If I have freedom in my love and in my soul, I'm free. Angels alone that soar above enjoy such a liberty. There was another lady that wrote a poem called the same name, Prisons Without Bars. She wrote her poem in 2019 and 20, and she wrote her poem during COVID. And the poem is talking about how during COVID that we all did feel like we was in prison. We couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't do anything, it seemed like. And there was no bars, there was no warden, there was no jailer. But for the space of about a year and a half, it seemed like that we was in prison. Amen. And what I'm saying tonight is we can be prisoners in our own mind. We can be prisoners in our own homes. We can be prisoners in our own heart. We don't have to be in a jail or a prison cell. But what I want to preach to you tonight, you may find yourself, you may be in a prison tonight. No bars, no cell, no jailers, but in your mind, you're in a prison. Maybe in your home, you're in a prison. Well, I want to preach to you tonight on how to get out of jail free. I want to preach to you tonight on how to get out of jail free, because that's exactly what Paul did. Now, Zechariah 9 and 12 talks about us that are believers, us that are saved. The Bible says, turn ye to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. You and I are prisoners in our own body. Our soul is locked up in our own body. And we feel like we're in prison down here. But we're prisoners of hope. You say, why? Because one day we know we're getting out. And whenever I preach at the jail, and I used to like to preach in the jail. We used to do it a lot back years ago. It's right over here. The Lord put it right here at our doorstep. And I like to preach over there. For one, you had a captive audience. Number two, nobody walked out on you. Amen. And I like that. Amen. And you'd go in there, and I'd always start out my jail services like this. I'd say, how many people in here are saved? Of course, everybody's saved in there. You know that. And not only is everybody saved, everybody's in there falsely. You know, they've been framed. Everybody's been framed. But I'd always say, how many people saved? And they'd all raise their hand. I said, good. I said, if Jesus comes, we're busting out of here in a minute. Amen. And they liked that. That was an encouragement to them. Amen. But Paul found himself in prison. And Paul and Silas, they got out of jail free. And what worked for Paul and Silas to get out of jail free, it will also work for you. Even though your prison may only be a mental one, even though your prison may be in your own home, even though your prison may be in your own heart, I'm telling you, you can get out free. Amen. I want to say three things tonight about Paul. It's all right here in the Bible. I like it when it's in the Bible, don't you? I mean, it's okay when a fellow says, I think, or it might be this way, or I heard it this way. I'm just kind of the kind of person that I like it when it's in the Bible. And if you ever call me anything and you say, somebody says, you meet them on the street and they say, what is Brother Rick? I just soon you answer them this way. He's just a preacher, but he's a Bible preacher. Amen. If I want to be guilty or charged with anything, I want to be guilty and charged of preaching the Bible. Amen. And, you know, by the way, the Bible says we ought to preach the Bible. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. And so tonight, when we look at our text tonight, let's break it down, analyze it tonight, and see how Paul got out of jail free. Well, first of all, in verse 25, the Bible said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, who are in jail, the Bible said, they prayed. They prayed. Well, you know me, I can't hardly preach a sermon without getting prayer in there somewhere. Because I think it's an all-important thing. And I think it's interesting that the first way that Paul and Silas got out of jail, I think it's interesting that they prayed. Years ago, there was a man that we met, and he came here in the old building, and some of the older folks will remember him. But his name was Al Grounds. Anybody remember Al Grounds? We met him. He was a preacher down in Nashville, and he had started a church down there. And after we made an acquaintance and he preached here a couple of times, I asked him to come and preach a revival for us. So he came, but right before he came, he called and he said, Brother Rick, said, is it all right if I bring a gospel singer with me? Well, we didn't have any singers in the church at that time, so that tickled me to death. He didn't say who it was or anything like that, but when they came, it was Jake Kess. Is who was with him. I couldn't believe it. Jake Kess in a little old garage of a type building at that time. And he came and he stayed all week long. We had Jake Kess doing our special singing. Amen. My wife's grandmother, Miss May, she loved it. She loved him. She loved that kind of singing, Sunshine Gospel Hour. And she came and we all enjoyed him. One of the finest men I ever met. I'll say this tonight. When he came that week, he had only a quarter of a heart working, he told me. He shared with me that week. He said, only a quarter of my heart is working. But you couldn't tell it by hearing him sing or being with him. Very, very nice, very down to earth, very friendly man. And did you know what? He lived about 20 plus years after that. He started seeing him all the time on the Gaither singings and things for many, many, many years. But I said all that to say this. He used to sing a song that I love to hear him sing. I've never heard anybody else sing it or try to sing it. But he sung a song called Prayer is the Key to Heaven. The next line said, Faith unlocks the door. And I want you to know tonight that that's exactly right. That prayer is the key to heaven. Faith is what turns it and makes it work. And so we see here that Paul and Silas, they got out of jail free because they prayed, and prayer is the key. Amen. If you got the key, you can get out. Amen. They began to sing. And I like what the Bible says here. It said that they had the key, that key of prayer. And I want you to know that that key will work at any hour.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you don't just have to, that key will only work at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning or 6 o'clock Sunday night or even Wednesday night at 6:30. Aren't you glad that that key of prayer will work at any hour? The Bible says that it was at midnight. I'm glad it'll work at midnight. Sometimes God wakes me up at midnight. Sometimes God wakes me up in the fourth part of the night between 3 and 7 o'clock. And sometimes I lay there and I pray and God speaks to my heart. And I'm glad that prayer will work at any hour. Amen. I'm glad it'll work in the hour of desperation. I'm glad that it'll work in the early morning hour. Jesus departed out a long while before daybreak and prayed. I'm glad it'll work in the dark hour. Jesus was praying in dark Gethsemane. I'm glad that prayer will work any hour. Amen. There's not any hour that prayer will not work. Amen. I'm glad for that. So it'll work at any hour. They had the key. Not only will it work at any hour, but it'll work with any two. The Bible said Paul and Silas prayed. I like Matthew 18:20. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there that I am in the midst. Amen. I like verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loosen on earth shall be loosened in heaven. And I like that where the Bible said, any two or three will agree on anything. The Bible said it shall be done. Can't you see Paul and Silas there? And before they done anything, they said, let's pray. Well, that's always best. Before you sing, pray. Before you preach, pray. Before you pass out tracts, pray. Before you go to work in the morning, pray. The Bible says that prayer ought to be done first in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible said prayer ought to be the first thing you do. Amen. You can do a lot of things after you pray, but you can't do nothing until you pray. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. I think it's Matthew 18:19 is the verse I was looking for. There, and maybe it is not, that's the one I read. But the verse says, if any two will agree on anything, it shall be done. It's good to have a prayer partner. Amen. Jerry Falwell, years ago, he used to talk about being a faith partner. And that's all right, but I like having a prayer partner. And I'm glad I always got one. You say, who is it? Well, the fact of the business is, the Bible said if any two or three will agree on anything. And I'm glad I've got the Father. I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I've got Jesus Christ. And I agree with whatever they say. And if I agree with whatever they say, it shall be done. Amen. Can't you see Paul and Silas sitting there? They've been beaten. They've been mistreated like that Christians are often done in this world. And they're there and they're in chains and stocks. And their backs have been beaten and their feet hurt. And I don't know which one, but one of the others said, why don't we pray? I don't know, and it's not in the Bible, I'm speculating. But maybe they said, all right, let's take prayer requests. What should we pray about tonight? And Silas may have said, why don't we pray, we'll get out of here. Paul said, I can agree with that. I don't like being in here anyway, and I can agree with that. I don't think God intends for us to stay in here forever, so we'll pray about that. Silas said, Paul, you got anything? He said, let's pray that jailer gets saved tonight. Let's agree that old jailer gets saved tonight. And let's pray for these prisoners tonight. Amen. I don't know what they prayed, but I know this, they got through, they got an answer. If any two will agree on anything, there's great power when a husband and wife binds together in prayer. There's great power when children and parents band together in prayer. There's great power when a church and a pastor binds together in prayer. And the Bible said, if any two will ask anything in my name, it shall be done. They prayed. They had the key of prayer. And the key of prayer will always open the door. You can pray at any time. You can pray with any two. You can pray in any place. The Bible says in verse 24, they had them already in prison, verse 23. But in verse 24, after they beat them, they thrust them into the inner prison. You say, what's that? That's way back in there. That's what we'd call today the hole. They say they throwed them in the hole. I was in a service years ago with Brother Noah's church, and Brother Eddie was with me. And they had a young man that was there, had been in prison for whatever reason, I don't know, but they put him in the hole. And when they put him in the hole, all they would give him was a, Bible, and they stuck that Bible through there and said, this is all you can get. Well, he got in the hole, and they began to read that Bible. And long story short, man got saved. And he memorized the Bible. And me and Brother Eddie went to hear him, and Brother Noah said, we've got a man with us that's been in prison, and he's memorized great portions of the Bible while he was in there. He got saved. And he said tonight he's going to, or said this morning, he's going to quote for us the book of Jonah. I took my Bible and I followed with him through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. He did not leave out one word. He didn't leave out one word. Now there's a man that was in the hole in prison, but he got out. He said, if you'll come back tonight, which we didn't get to do, he said he's going to quote the whole book of Revelations, 22 chapters. There was a man that was in the inner prison, but he got out. Amen. You see, prayer will work in any place. Aren't you glad that prayer just does not work at Bethel Baptist Church? Aren't you glad it don't just work down at the altar? Aren't you glad that prayer will work in any place? It'll work in the intensive care ward. Amen. Prayer will work in the jail. Prayer will work down at the hospital. Prayer will work doing surgery. Amen. It's been several years ago, I was going to preach in Ohio, going to preach for Brother Sheets. And I'd had an accident that week before. A lady stopped in front of me in front of Hatcher and Sadler Funeral Home. And I got stopped. I didn't hit her. I was like this close to hitting her. But the guy behind me, he didn't get stopped. And he hit me and knocked me into her. I found out the worst thing about an accident sometimes is airbags. Those airbags come out because getting hit in the front and the back. And I'd never had them to come out before. And the car filled up with what I thought was smoke. I thought, Lord, the thing's on fire. Amen. And I thought I didn't get hurt. But after that, I began to have bad lower back pain. And we left to go to do that revival, me and my wife. And I'd been taking some medication, pain pills, if you will. And the day I left, they were out of what I normally take. And they said, take this. Name of it was Mobilic. And they said, take this. It's the same thing as what you're taking. And so that Sunday evening, my back was hurting. I took one of them pills. My wife, she always says, I'm going to leave you, let you study a little bit, let you pray a little bit. And I'm going to go shopping. And so she went shopping, and I took one of them pills, my stomach began to swell. It began to feel like I'd eat 25 green apples. When she come back into the room, first thing she said, what's wrong with your stomach? You look like you're fixing to have a baby. I said, I don't know. I said, I took this medicine, and my stomach is killing me. And I said, I don't know if I'll be able to preach or not. And we got over there to the church at Brother Sheets, and somebody sung. The Holy Spirit began to move, and it broke out. And I sat right there, and I never did have to fire a shot. Lord just took over. People prayed and testified and came to the altar and got saved. I just sat there saying, thank you, Lord. Amen. But I'm glad that prayer will work in the Holiday Inn, in the motel room. Amen. I'm glad that prayer will work anytime, any place, and with any two. How did they get out of prison? They had the key. Amen. Look here, verse again, that same verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God. How did they get out free? They prayed. They had the key of prayer. How did they get out free? They sung in the right key. They sung in the right key. People often ask me when I sing, usually the piano player, and they'll say, what key do you sing that in, Brother Rick? And I always say, flat. Amen. Some singing you hear down around the Church of God, some people call that jailhouse singing. It's behind a whole lot of bars and has no key. Amen. A lot of truth to that. Praise the Lord. But they wasn't that way. They got it right. They got it right. They sung in the right key. They got out of jail free. You say, how did they sing in the right key? Well, the Bible said in Acts 16:25, the prisoners heard them. They sung at the right level. I hate to go to these churches that's got 150 people in there and you can't hear nobody singing. I hate that. I don't care how good a singer you are, sing loud. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when you go down to the house of God, you ought to sing like you do in your car going down the interstate. Listen to country music or whatever music you're listening to, and you're singing at the top of your lungs. You ought to sing that way when you go down to the house of God. You ought to sing like you do in the shower. Amen. You say, I don't sing. I'd like to sneak in and listen in the door of your bathroom sometime. Amen. You say, I don't sing. I'd like to be in the back seat of your vehicle sometime when you're going down the road and you think you're Merle Haggard, or you think you're one of these country, you think you're Tammy Wynette, you think you're Dolly Parton, amen. I'd like to hear people sing like that when they go to the house of God. They got the level right. You say, how you know the prisoners heard them? I've always wanted to mount a speaker on the outside of this building just so when people pass by, they could hear the singing. Or when people pass by, they could hear the preaching. Or when people pull up in the parking lot, they could hear the singing and the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. I like to get the level right. I like it loud. I like it when it's God's music. I like it loud. Amen. They got the level right. Say, how'd they sing in the right key? They got the lyrics right. The Bible said they sung praises. Amen. In other words, they were singing the right kind of words. It wasn't country. It wasn't contemporary. Amen. It wasn't some rock band song with flashing lights and hail, hail, the band's all here. But they were singing praises unto God. Amen. We might say that they were having praise and worship. But it was the kind the Lord liked. They sang praises to God. That's what singing's all about. This songbook here, this Heavenly Highway Hymnal, it's got over 300 songs in it. Most of them about him.
Amen.
This book here, it's got 668 songs in it. Most of them's about him. This church hymnal that we got here, it's got over 400 songs in it. Most of them about him.
Amen.
I wonder why they call it a hymn book. Because the songs are about him.
Yes.
Amen. They got the lyrics right. They were singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." They were singing songs like "Victory in Jesus." Amen. They were singing songs about the blood, no doubt. Brother Eddie likes to tell about me preaching in a Wesleyan Methodist church, and they had got rid of all their song books. Wesleyans had a big movement going then. They wanted to get rid of the blood and get it out of everything. So when they called me up after they're singing, I said, I'd like to request something. I said, I'd like to request a song about the blood. They run back in the back room for about 20 minutes going through boxes and dragging out old song books to get a song about the blood. I'm glad we don't have to run anywhere. We've already got songs about the blood in here. We've already got songs about Him in here. Amen. I'm glad we're not singing 7-11 songs, seven words, sang 11 times. I'm glad, thank God. We're singing. We got the lyrics right. Amen. How'd they get out of prison? Prisoners heard them. Levels right. They sang praises. Lyrics were right. Their Lord was right. They sang praises unto God. That's who our singing ought to be for. That's why it ought to be loud. That's why it ought to be heartfelt. Because it's like we're auditioning for the King. The Bible says, and Brother Eddie quoted tonight in the prayer room when Brother John was talking to us, and then Eddie commented, and the Bible talks about, be not drunk with wine, whereas it is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. Those are the three classes for songs. Did you know that Psalms, that's a book of Psalms. That's a hymn book in your Bible. That's what they used to sing. Amen. Spiritual songs are songs about spiritual things. Amen. Psalms, hymns are about Him. Amen. And so when they sung, the Bible said they sang praises unto God. Silas wasn't singing to Paul. Paul wasn't singing to Silas. Both of them together wasn't singing to the prisoners. They were singing to the Lord. They're singing to the Lord. Our singing's always better. I like it when Mike Gibson does this a lot. But I hear a lot of them do it. But they come up to sing, and they'll say, now I'm going to sing this song for the Lord, and I'll let y'all listen. I like that. Amen. Singing for the Lord. If you're singing for people, they may not like it. Because, like I said, it might be that jailhouse singing behind a whole lot of bars and no key. But if you're singing for the Lord, and your heart's right, and the hymn's right, He'll love it. He'll love it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm talking about how did they get out of prison. Well, they prayed, and their prayer is always the key. They sung, and the song was in the right key. But thirdly, look at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosened. We might say that not only did they pray, and prayer's a key, we might say tonight that not only did they sing, and they sung in the right key, but we can say tonight they got the attention of the one that has the keys. We might say tonight that they found somebody that had the master key. He's the key keeper. He has the key to every door, any door. And they got his attention. You see, prayer gets God's attention. You see, worship and singing gets God's attention. Look, if you will, in Revelations chapter 1. John is on the island of Patmos. And in verse 18, Jesus speaks and He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys. I'm glad I know the key keeper. Aren't you? You say, what does He have the key to? Has the key to hearts. Look back in verse 14 of this chapter. And the Bible said, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Amen. The Lord has the key to every heart. Amen. I'm glad when He opened my heart. Amen. Aren't you? If you don't know Him tonight, He has the key to your heart. He knows just what it'll take to open your heart He opened up Lydia's heart. Nobody ever gets saved until the Lord opens up their heart. When the Lord opens up their heart, then the word Jesus can come in when their heart is opened up. We read tonight, John said that Jesus said, I have the keys of hell. Or J.W., friends, they like to say that God wouldn't put anybody in hell. And my answer always is to them, if you get in there, he'll have to put you in there because he's got the key. The Lord don't ever want anybody to go to hell. And really, we put ourselves in there. But according to what the Bible said, he's got the key. He's got to open it up to put you in there. He has the key of every heart. He has the key of hell. And thank God, look over in Revelations, again, chapter 4, verse 1. And he said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. He must have had the key. Not only does he have the door to your, a key to your heart and the key to hell, but he has the key to heaven. Jesus is the key to heaven. Matter of fact, he's the door. Now, if a fella's the door and he has the key, he can get you in. Wouldn't you think so? Amen. And so, I see here that Paul and Silas, they did not call a bondsman. They did not get released on parole because somebody went their bail. But they gone out of jail free. Say, where's that at? We read it in verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all of his straightway. They got out free. Isn't that a blessing? Did you know the same way they got out? You can get out of your jail tonight. Prayer. Praise and worship. You know, praise and worship and singing these spiritual songs and hymns, they can get you out of your prison. I've done it going down the road singing. Amen. I've done it in my office worshiping the Lord and singing and praying to the Lord and feel like I'm in prison even though there's no bars. God opened the door. I used to like this old song the Hensons sang. We used to have a guy in our church that could sing it. It gets real high, and he's about the only one that could sing it, but I liked it. It says, lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. Then deprive me of the food I eat and even bind my hands and feet. And as long as I know Jesus, I can still go free. That I could still go free. What kind of man would reach down his hand and just do this for me? Unworthy to live and not fit to kill, yet a man on the cross put me in his will and said that I could still go free. Amen. Now I never could quite understand why a king would want to leave his throne to don the role of an earthly man and feel the pain of flesh and bone. Then to later trod that lonely path that led to Calvary's hill. But the blood-red stains broke away my chains so that I could still go free. Amen. I'm glad tonight that there is a get out of jail free way. The Bible tells us about it. Fathers, I come to you this evening. I really enjoyed preaching this message.